Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. So the question is framed around this idea. It's framed around this idea of the truth of who we are being labelless, being nameless, being expansive, not being this physical body, which we speak about so frequently. You know, one of the core teachings is you're not this physical body. You're not the name, you're not the role, you're not the identity. As the question said, I've been watching a lot of satsang videos, so it's something we speak about a lot. Most of us get so attached to the identity, to the name, to the form, to what I look like, to what my relations are, to what else I have to do today, what's on my to-do list, how much am I making? How much am I making compared to other people? How is my level of success, financial success, career success, social success, relationship success compared to other people? We're constantly judging and looking just on the basis of this physical form. And so the teaching is, you're not the body. You're not the role. You're not the identity. You're infinite. You're infinite. When we chant Purnamada, Purnamida, Purnat, Purnamudachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vishishyate, that, the capital T, that, the divine that is whole and complete and perfect. And this that has been created out of that, created by that, is also whole and complete and perfect. But then, of course, the question says, well, okay, so if we know that the truth of who we are is nameless, formless, it's love, it's truth, it's consciousness, how do we hold that all day? And how do we move through the world as that? So here's what's beautiful. There's different aspects of reality that are going on at the same time. Think about the way that the old TV sets used to go. Some of you are very young, but some of you have probably been alive long enough to see what TV sets used to look like before we had remote controls, where you actually had a dial. And you would just turn a knob. And you would go from channel 2 to channel 4 to channel 6, and the knob was stuck on the TV, and you had to actually get up and turn it, and then the channel would turn. Now, all of that was broadcasting simultaneously. It wasn't like the people at Channel 2 suddenly started broadcasting because you turned the dial. You know, you're watching Channel 4, then you decide, oh, now I'm going to watch Channel 2, you turn it. Suddenly all the guys at Channel 2 were like, quick, 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 go live, you know, we're on. It was broadcasting anyway. While you were watching Channel 4, Channel 2 was on. But you just weren't tuned into it at that point. But it was still broadcasting. If anybody's ever woken up in the middle of the night and decided to turn on the TV at a time that you've never watched TV before, and suddenly it's like, oh, I wonder what's on at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, again, the universe didn't somehow know that you're now awake and put together a program for you to watch at 2 in the morning. It was broadcasting anyway. You just weren't tuned in. Normally you're sleeping, now you're awake, you turn on the TV, and you see what's broadcasting. In the same way, in life, there's different channels, you can say, of ways to look at life, ways to experience life. One of them is what we call the highest truth, the deepest truth, which is, who you are is consciousness, who you love is porn, that capital T, that divine, that we've been created, not just by, but of, that all of that infinite nature, all of that infinite consciousness, infinite love, infinite truth of the divine is also us. That's one channel of existence. And another channel of existence is here I am in this body. You know, when we speak about illusion, people somehow misunderstand it to mean that this is somehow just like a mirage. It's an optical illusion, as though somehow I had something in my eye and it made me think that I had a body. Like if you're driving, you know, in the desert and you see what looks like water up ahead, but it's actually not. Or like those optical illusions that a lot of us did as kids, where there's a picture and you have to see, you know, do you see the two people with a profile or do you see the vase in the middle? It's not a matter of an optical illusion. It's a matter of, it's not the highest truth. It's like saying the wave and the ocean. So the wave is not the highest truth. The highest truth of a wave is ocean. Because even in the height of its waveness, even if it's a 30-foot tsunami, at the core, it's ocean. At any point in its wave life, in its waveness, its highest truth is ocean. Whether it's a 1-inch wave or a 30-foot tsunami, at the core, it's ocean. However, anybody who's ever surfed, anybody who's ever swum in the ocean, anybody who's ever experienced a tsunami knows that also exists. That wave, although not the highest truth, will drown you, could give you a good ride if you happen to know how to surf and it works out well for you, takes you up, takes you down, but it could crush you, it could drown you, destroys buildings. The tsunami in 2004 in South India, where we did a lot of work, it wiped out, you know, 500 meters from the coastline, everything in its sight, every house, every shop, every building. Well, that wasn't an illusion, that happened. And in the midst of its tsunaminess, it was ocean. And that's really the same way of thinking about yourself here. So I am this body in that particular channel. That particular channel, I've got this body. And I've got to feed it properly. I've got to exercise it properly. I've got to give it enough sleep. It's got its own certain things that it does really well, things that it doesn't do so well. It's got some strengths. It's got some weaknesses. If we took the rest of the evening and we went around, I'm sure we'd hear everything about somebody's going to have diabetes, somebody's going to have cholesterol, somebody's going to have a bad back, somebody's going to have a bad knee, somebody's going to have sinus infections. So we've all got little aspects that we know we have to take care of. Well, those are not illusions. And yet, despite any of that, despite the ailments, the fragileness, despite the exquisiteness, the glory of this body, because again, if we went around, we could talk about what every one of us has done with this body in our lives. What we still can do. We've got a bunch of yogis here. I'm sure we, you know, we could have a beautiful show of what physical bodies can do in this moment. I bet we've got some dancers here who could show us dance. I mean, I bet we've got all kinds of things that we could see be done by the physical body. We've all got certain weights and heights, skin tones, pints of blood in our body. That's not an illusion. It exists, and it's not the highest truth of who you are. Because that physical body keeps changing. Its size, its shape, its composition, what it can do very well, what it can't do very well, what its ailments are, how old it is, that keeps changing. But I doesn't change. That I that has been there not just this life, but through all of your lives, that I that is there even when you're sleeping, that I that is there despite the constant changes. Who is that I? Well, that starts to give you a touch of who you are. Another way to think about it, it's a little bit more morbid, but it's a good illustration, is if you think you're your body or you identify as the body, ask yourself what part of the body that is. Because if you imagine tragically that you had to get your arm amputated or a leg amputated, you wouldn't cease to exist. If you had to have a liver transplant or you lost a kidney, or you lost another organ, or you had to have another organ transplant, or you had to have a blood transfusion. There's nothing in the body that by losing it or changing it, you would feel like, oh, now my self is gone. And so the question becomes, well, if it doesn't exist in any of that, it doesn't change. That self is always the same, regardless of what's happening with our body, and regardless, interestingly, of what's happening in our minds. Anybody who's ever drank a lot of alcohol or taken a lot of drugs or been under anesthesia knows that there are all kinds of things we can do that change our experience of our brain fully. Being asleep is also kind of like that, but it's more powerful to think about what it's like if you're on drugs or you're under anesthesia. Well, I is still there, even though you're doing crazy, stupid things, acting in crazy, stupid ways, or in the case of anesthesia, even though you don't have any awareness, I is still there. So the I is what exists all the time. It's like the ocean of the waves. Waves keep coming, different forms, different sizes, different times, but the ocean stays. It comes out of the ocean and it returns to the ocean. It comes out and it returns, but even in that form of the wave, it's still ocean. And so that's the way that we move through this world, is by recognizing and appreciating and loving the form. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna was unequivocally clear that we must stand up and do our duties. He didn't say to Arjuna, oh, well, don't worry, you're only soul, to baki to chordo, forget the rest. No. He said, you are a kshatriya. This is your dharma. You are meant to be the ruler of this kingdom. You are meant to restore the dharma. You are meant to fight this war. Well, that's the very unique dharma of a very unique physical incarnation. Even each of the five Pandavas had different dharmas, different ways of being. If we were just supposed to live as soul, Lord Krishna would have said, don't worry, your soul, forget it all. Just sit down, I'll teach you to meditate, I'll make you enlightened, forget the rest. He said, stand up, fight this war right now. In fact, I'm going to drive that chariot. I'm going to drive you right into the center of the battle. Not up the mountain, not to a retreat center, not into a cave, not to a spa, just into the battle. I'm going to drive you there. So we have to honor, appreciate, recognize, I would say love these incarnations we have. It doesn't mean that every moment is particularly enjoyable. It doesn't mean that there aren't things that we, if we had magic wands, wouldn't rather change. But it means love this incredible gift that we've been given of this life. Use it for the very best possibility, the very best service. And recognize, even as I move through the world, even as I do my dharma, I am soul, I am spirit. And again, this is what Lord Krishna said. You fight this war, you do your best, but you remember. You are the soul who cannot be cut by the knives, cannot be burned by the fire, cannot be dried by the wind, and so are they. But each of your souls has taken a different incarnation right now, and we're having a drama. We're having a drama, and on the stage of this drama, you are the Pandavas, they are the Kauravas, here's the roles we're going to play. And you better play it right, because in playing your role right is actually your only chance to become free. In playing this role correctly, in doing your dharma correctly, is your only chance to be free. Not by saying, forget it, I know I'm soul, I'm going to just not be here. I don't think this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not a killer. I'm not a bad person. This is not my cup of tea. But Lord Krishna said, no, this is exactly your dharma. And so this is how we must live. In our roles, in our bodies, loving it, appreciating it, fulfilling it to the very best that we can with integrity, with commitment, with duty, And yet we recognize and we remember every moment as we do it. Oh, and by the way, I'm the actor playing the role. This is all a costume. It's all a costume. I'm on a stage. But I'm the actor. And this actor is no separate from the actor in there, the actor in there, the actor in there. We are actually all one. Like the ocean is one, even though the waves may appear to be separate from each other, but actually it's all one. But we've all just mutually agreed on some soul level that we're going to play this drama together. And so we do. And we do it with as much awareness, as much compassion, as much love, as much truth, as much right action, as the Buddhists say, as we can. And through that, we experience the truth of who we are. And so that's where, lastly, we become what we call jiva mukti. Free while living. It's not that freedom after death, it's that freedom while we're here in the body. We're doing it. We're engaged. But we're also free.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. Neither we need to mend ourselves or break ourselves. Nothing is wrong. If we say you need to mend yourself, it means you're broken. If you say you need to break yourself, it also implies you're broken, because it implies that who you are, how you are, is actually so broken that it can't be mended. The whole thing needs to be destroyed and sort of rebuilt. You don't need to do either. Spirituality is not about a fixing of yourself. It's also not about a breaking of yourself. It's simply about a very conscious decision. Look, if I'm standing at a point in the road, or anywhere, I can only walk in one direction at a time. So I can either walk north or south, but not both. I can walk east or west, but not both. In the same way, we can either focus our lives internally, or we can focus externally. Most of us are focused externally. And by the way, by external, I don't necessarily mean the inanimate objects or animate objects in the world around me. It could be my physical body. It could be the chemistry and electricity of my physical brain. But external to the core of the self, external to soul, spirit, love, if I'm focused looking outward, then that's what I'm going to see, outward. And sure, the first things I'm going to see, if you imagine literally that you are standing, not in the road, but if you imagine that you're standing in your heart, deep within the core of your being, and you look outward, well, first you're going to see your physical body, including the workings of the brain, the mind, and then you're going to start to see the world literally outside, other people, situations, experiences. Or you can look inward. But you can't do both simultaneously. Now, that calls for an important caveat, which is in your life, you can do both. Spirituality does not mean I will never again look outside. It doesn't mean I won't enjoy beautiful music or a beautiful sunset or looking into the eyes of a loved one. It doesn't mean I'll never notice whether someone is tall or short or fat or thin or beautiful or handsome. But what it means is that at any given moment, my attention and my focus can only be in one direction. And so the path of spirituality says, I'm going to make a commitment to looking inward. I'm going to make a commitment to seeing myself first and then the world as spirit rather than as body, as content rather than as form. I'm going to look at essence rather than packaging. Again, doesn't mean I can never enjoy also the form or also the packaging. But I'm going to focus on content, on essence, on spirit. That's what spirituality literally means. Is that focus on spirit. And it's just a shift. It's a shift in focus, a shift in direction. Doesn't require you to be fixed. Doesn't require you to be broken and put back together like Humpty Dumpty. It just requires you to say, I've been looking outside for a really long time, and it isn't giving me what I'm looking for. Right? It's like that story that I love of the woman who's on her hands and knees in the road looking for something, and the wise man walks by and she tells him she's looking for her key. He also gets down on his hands and knees. He helps her look. And after some time, he asks her, where did you lose the key? Oh, she says, I lost it in the house. He says, then why are you looking in the road? She says, because see, it's very bright here. There's this big street light out here, so I can see very well. Inside my house, it's dark. He says, go back home. Go back in the house. It may be dark, but eventually you'll find it. And that's the shift that spirituality requires of us, is instead of looking out in the road just because it's bright, instead of looking in the shopping centers, in places that are bright, or the lights that go off in our brain when, you know, we get triggered in some way. We become angry, we become jealous, we want things, We feel lust, we feel greed, we feel desire, we feel aversion. Those all are very bright lights, not light in a quality of light, but light as in you can't ignore it. It pulls your attention. It grabs your attention. So they all are attention grabbing, intention grabbing, external aspects. Spirituality says, I'm going to look inside. I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted, to have my attention grabbed by the outside. I'm going to look within. I'm going to know that I am spirit, I am essence, I am content. I'm not form, I'm not packaging, I'm not this body. And then when I start to look externally at other people, at the world, I'll be able to see them as spirit, as content, as essence, rather than them as packaging. So rather than me and my package looking out at other people and saying, oh, okay, this is a handsome man or a beautiful woman, tall, short, fat, thin, successful looking, not successful looking, according to my standards of beauty, not according to my standards of beauty. Instead of that, you start to be able to look at others and see the self and realize it's you. That capital YU, that capital S self, in there as well. And you start to be able to see you in them and to feel them in you. And that's what the path of spirituality is about. So no, you don't need to be fixed. No, you don't need to be broken and then put back together. You just need to shift the focus.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip or the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. Teenage years, yeah. I remember in my high school, there was a wonderful board that was up that said, enjoy your adolescence. It's the last time you'll know everything. You know, it's a very interesting time, the teenage years, because there is an ego, there is an arrogance, but there's also simultaneously great anxiety. And in many cases, in many ways, that ego and that arrogance is really kind of masking an inner insecurity. It's the time of our lives that we are figuring out, who am I? Most schools, have kind of different groups, different cliques. Athletes over here and the very studious ones over here, the party people over here, the more straight non-partiers over here. All different groups. And of course, you know, I was in high school 35 years ago. I'm sure they've come up with all sorts of new groups today. But it's the time that we figure out, oh, am I like this or am I like that? Which group do I eat lunch with? Which group do I hang out with on the weekends? Am I a till 2 in the morning using drugs, getting drunk in the clubs type? Or am I like a stay at home in, you know, PJs eating popcorn watching movie type? Or am I a reading or writing or creating art or creating music type? Who am I? So at that time that we're trying to figure that out, and there's so much pressure, and of course these days social media has made it so much worse. So much worse. Because it's not just a matter of understanding your identity. Teens these days actually have to have two identities. One is who they really are. They have to figure that out. What do I really like? What are my real values and ethics and priorities and goals and dreams? And what's the identity I'm going to curate for social media? Which in most cases is very different from the real identity. So I actually am just, my heart is so full of compassion for young people these days because it's hard enough being a young person, being a preteen, being a teenager, and just figuring out one identity. But then having to have another identity that you have to curate and present to the world and figure out who's going to like what. Do they like my selfie better if I'm facing this way or if I'm facing that way, if my hair is like this or my hair is like that? Chin down, chin up, funny apps that make, you know, my cheeks fatter or skinnier, my lips fatter or skinnier. Having to navigate that at the same time that you're having to navigate, who am I? I can't even imagine the difficulty. So my heart actually goes out so much to the youth of today and to their parents. Remember, they're not nearly as sure of themselves as they're telling you they are. They are much, much, much more confused. They're much more insecure. They are struggling a lot more within themselves. Have compassion for them. And yeah, they're going to be arrogant and obnoxious and rebellious at times. Absolutely. Absolutely. But remember also, their bodies are full of hormones. We all know the impact of drugs and alcohol on our minds. You know what happens if you drink too much alcohol, you say stupid things, you do stupid things, you wake up the next morning and you really, really, really regret it. Take drugs. Say stupid things, do stupid things, really regret it. All that's happened is that the brain has become flooded with chemicals. Even if they're not drinking alcohol or using drugs, their brains are flooded with chemicals. We call those hormones. They're flooded with them. It's constantly causing them to feel in different ways, think in different ways, act in different ways. And it's the time when these waves of hormones are just rushing through their bodies. So have compassion, have love, recognize they are not doing this to make your life miserable. I promise. None of them are waking up in the morning thinking, how can I make mom and dad's life miserable? They're really just trying to navigate their own way through the world. But you also have to set borders and boundaries and discipline. That's essential for them. There must be borders. There must be discipline. There must be lines that they know they can cross and cannot cross. There must be limits. Limits on social media, limits on their device, limits on the computer. There must be rules. Times of the day they're allowed to use it, times they're not. And yeah, they'll fight you. They'll scream, they'll yell, they'll tell you they hate you. They'll say you're the worst mom and dad ever. Welcome to parenting. And by the way, that has gone on long before there were smartphones or social media. Teenagers telling their parents they hate them is kind of part of the package. Since teenagers have wanted to do things that their parents have said no to, you've got conflict. But the answer to the conflict is not to give in, because then it's just going to continue. The answer to the conflict is to stay firm, stay grounded, and stay anchored, such that if they say, I hate you, you don't say, oh, okay, no problem, take the car, do whatever you want, come home whenever you want, no problem, forget it. You stay strong. And you know that it isn't true. You know that what they're saying isn't about you, but it's about them. But that requires you as parents to be grounded and anchored spiritually, so that you don't start to doubt yourself and suffer based on what your teenagers are saying and doing. So that beautiful, beautiful but very challenging, precarious sometimes mix of compassion, love, tenderness, and discipline is the very best way to get through these years in a way where they get the guidance, the sanskaras that they need, the love that they need, but also the borders and boundaries they need. And you stay safe, sane, peaceful, grounded, anchored, and able to access your truth of joy. And remember, lastly, they came into this world as a seed. You water it, you shine the sun on it, you give it nourishment, nurturance, but ultimately it came into this world as a seed. And if it's an orange seed, the best you're going to get is a beautiful orange tree with juicy, beautiful oranges. But no amount of yelling at it, or praying to it, or begging it, or teaching it, or guiding it, is going to turn it into an apple tree. Because it is an orange seed. And you have to also remember that they've come into this world with a karmic package. And that karmic package is going to bear itself out. Your goal, your dharma, your duty as their parents is to give that nourishing, nurturing soil, to give the sun, to give the water, and to have faith that whatever that seed is, because sometimes we don't know. Is it an orange? Is it an apple? Is it a peach tree? You don't know. You just know you've got this seed. But to just have faith that it's going to blossom and it's going to sprout into exactly what it's going to be, and your job is just to nourish it and nurture it. Give it that sunshine. Give it that water. Give it the love. Give it the tenderness. Give it the sanskaras. But ultimately, it's come in with its own karmic package as well. So don't take 100% of the responsibility on your head either, because some of it's just a karmic package they've come in with.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. When we speak about the divine, whether we speak about Mother Ganga as the goddess, whether we speak about any form of the divine, any aspect of the divine, it's always a challenge because everybody's experience of the divine is different. Some people have very visual experiences. Some people have just very felt sense experiences. Some people have experiences in so many different ways. And yet, none of them is right, none of them is better or worse. And so when we talk about Mother Ganga being visible, when we speak about Mother Ganga being visible, sure, some people have beautiful visions of Mother Ganga, see Mother Ganga visually. Others feel Mother Ganga. Yes, I have had very beautiful visual experiences of Mother Ganga. But here's what's important. Never think that because you have had a different type of spiritual experience, that it's worse or it's better, that it's more or it's less. Never ever think like that. Whatever experience you're having is exactly right. Whether it's visual, whether you're hearing it, whether you just feel it, whether it's with form, without form, with name, without name, whether it seems to be outside of you, whether it seems to be inside of you, whatever it is, it's exactly right. And so I try, you know, it's a challenge because we really try to avoid. Talking about spiritual experiences is so beautiful, and it's so inspiring, and it's so uplifting to hear everyone who's had spiritual experiences share, this is what it's been like for me. And yet the dilemma is that then, of course, that makes people who have had different experiences wonder, well, maybe mine's not as good. Maybe I'm just not pure enough, or not worthy enough, or not good enough. And the most important piece is, whatever experience I've had, or someone else that you've read about or you've heard has had, is what's necessary for our particular karmic experience. And whatever experience you've had, or you're going to have, or you're having right now, is exactly what's right for you. So yes, I have had visions of Mother Ganga. But you know, the truth is, that felt sense experience of feeling her inside with eyes closed, sitting on her banks meditating or being in the aarti and feeling her, is no less powerful, no less exquisite, no less amazing, no less divine than seeing. Love is something we feel deep in our hearts. And whether it's a love for another human being, whether it's love for God, it's something we feel deep within us. To say that it has to be something visual would be to say that people who are blind somehow can't love as much as people who can see. Which, if you've ever known someone who's blind, you know, of course, isn't true. So, yes, visual experiences are sometimes there. Are they granted to those who are pure? I wouldn't say so. Because to me, what that would mean is that God somehow had a preference for the sense of sight over other senses. That somehow God was saying, to feel Ganga in your heart, to hear Ganga, to know Ganga, is somehow less than to see Ganga? And I don't think so. I don't think God has any particular preference for the sense of sight, or God wouldn't make people blind. If the sense of sight was the most important, powerful, spiritual sense that we had, then there would be no way of understanding a compassionate, loving God who made children born blind. So no, I don't necessarily think that you get visual experiences only if you're somehow pure or better. I think that it's just that each of us has different experiences at different times in different ways, teaching us different things. The main point is to have the experience, to have that awareness, to know that, and to feel that.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time on OM Times Radio.